recognize the character of the Lord in that situation. So I know that I was reading around that passage because I just couldn't understand. Until somebody gave some revelation about it, about the context of the situation, and then the story completely turned around and changed. And now it's one of my favorite topics to preach on. And I'm going to share on that today. So if you have a Bible with you, turn to John 5. I don't know if it's possible to get me a glass of water or something like that. John 5. Right, I already received some. Thank you very much. John 5, and we will be reading from verse 1. John 5. And it says, sometime later, Jesus spoke. Before I start reading, I'm going to give you an assignment. And the assignment is to listen carefully, and when there are things in this story from which you think, that's weird, that's strange, how come Jesus does it like this, how come Jesus says this, then remind those questions, and I'm going to ask you what kind of questions pop up when you hear this story, yeah? So we're going to have some interaction today together. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for a feast of the Jews. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which is in Aramaic called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here are a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, do you want to get well? Well, you should know, it's not on the screen, but some manuscripts say that from time to time, an angel of the Lord would come down and stir up the waters. And the first one into the pool, after each disturbance of the water, would be cured, would be healed, whatever disease he had. So Jesus asked his man, do you want to be healed? And he replies, sir, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, somebody else goes down ahead of me. And then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jews said to the man who had been healed, it's the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. Imagine that. This man had been paralyzed for 38 years. And now he's walking around there and he picked up his mat. Sir, you're not allowed to carry your mat. Well, that's the way to respond to a miracle like this. But he replied, the man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. So they asked him, who is this fellow who told you to pick up your mat and walk? The man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. And later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, see, you are well again. Stop sinning, or something worse may happen to you. And the man went away and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So far. Okay, when you hear this story, what kind of questions pop up? Which things do you think, oh, that's a bit strange. So if you have a question, raise your hand. Please help me. I've been trying to guess what questions you will be asking. And I made my sermon on that. So ask the right question. Brian, is that?
Yes.
Yeah. Good to see you again.
Wow. Why did Jesus ask the man who obviously he's been paralyzed for 38 years, do you want to get well? I mean, that's like, it seems like the obvious thing to say. Obviously, he wants to get well. Why does Jesus ask him? why do you want to get well?
So why did Jesus ask this man, do you want to get well? That's a good question. And I think the response of this man is remarkable. He says, well, I want to get well, but I don't have anybody anymore to bring it. I'm always late. His focus, when he was thinking about healing, his focus was on the water. The healer, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, was standing in front of him, asking him, do you want to get well? And he thinks about the water that's in front of him. Other questions? Yeah, you can ask any question you want. Yeah, that's weird. Jesus says, stop sinning, so nothing worse will happen to you. It seems like he's connecting the sickness of this man with sinning. Well, that's strange, because we don't see that elsewhere in the Bible. So why did Jesus confront this man? He said, well, you're well now. Stop sinning, or anything else will happen worse. This man was paralyzed for 38 years. Well, what can be worse than that? It's a good question. Other questions?
Why did Jesus slip away without him, the man, knowing who he was at first?
Yeah.
And then he comes back to him and very clearly tells him who he is later.
Yeah. So Jesus, this is a situation where there are a lot of sick people. Everywhere. The blind, the lame, the paralyzed, they were all gathered there. And Jesus slips in, does not say who he is. He heals this man, let's call him Sasha. When I preach about it in Macedonia, I always call this guy Sasha. Let's call him Sasha. He heals Sasha, and whoop, he's gone again. Why? And why only Sasha? There were hundreds of sick people here. This was the perfect opportunity to have a healing campaign, which he did in other situations, when you think about the multiplication of the food. About 20,000 people must have been gathering there, and it says shortly, and he healed the sick. There were thousands in one day. Well, if there was a place where you should be healing the sick, this was the place. So why did he do it in other situations? Heal the sick they were, because it's named a lot that Jesus healed all the sick, and now he's here, just suffering, without even telling who he is.
Great. I think the setting is also very interesting. In verse 4 where it says that there's this pool that the angel comes down and stirs, that's kind of a unique thing that we don't see in other places in the Bible also.
Yeah, so it's a bit strange way to heal people. The water is being stirred, and when the water moves, well, we're going to have a match, we're going to have a race to the water, and the one who's in the water, the first, will receive healing. What a strange situation. So I want to, very good questions, thank you very much. I want to sum it up into three questions. The first is, what a strange way to heal people. By having them jump into the water. The second thing is, why only Sasha? Why did Jesus enter in without telling who he is, healing Sasha, and then leaving again? And the third question is, stop sinning, or something worse will happen. What does that mean? Well, I want to, because I was struggling with this, because I didn't recognize the character of God in this situation. And I want to have you be part of this situation and realize what's happening. So I want to show you something. And I need some volunteers. And I think Peter and Luis are very good volunteers. So you can go, come up. And I need two more. Two real volunteers. I'm not going to do anything weird. You can trust me. I'm a good guy. Thank you, Brian, for your trust in me. show by coming up. One more.
Go ahead.
Who's going to be the hero? Come on. Yoke. Very good. Okay. Well, imagine this is a situation. Over here, I called you because you're like an angel, Louisa, so I think you represent a good angel. So, here's Louisa, she's the angel. Here we have the pool of Bethesda, the water. And then here we have some people who are sick.
Hold your hand up, Peter.
I picked you for a reason, then. Okay, so Brian, you're representing a blind guy. So that means you cannot see. Yo, there are also lame people. You're a lame person. And Peter, I'm sorry. I picked you for a special assignment. You have a very awkward situation. You went skiing in Kosovo and you hurt your hand. and that's very bad. That's very bad. Okay. Well, I'm asking you a question. Who do you think, when the water is being stirred by Louisa, the angel, who do you think will win the race to the water? So if you think Brian will win this, please raise your hand. Right? We're not seeing anything, but nobody. There's somebody cheering for you there.
I'm me! Yes.
It's your wife.
Okay, so one person thinks Brian will win this race. Okay, goodbye. Joop is lying here. He's waving. Who is cheering for Joop? He's saying, well, Joop is going to be the first one in the water. Joop, Jelle is cheering for you, but further nobody has any trust in you winning this race. Who thinks Peter will be the first in the water?
Woo! Peter!
We know Peter.
I did not expect that. Okay, Louisa. When you are ready and you touch the water, well, the race will begin. So you can choose any moment you want, but I think the people will want to leave at a certain time. So don't take too long with touching the water. But just how you were here, here's the water. But you killed your... I never had an angel like this before.
Then you can. He doesn't see that the water is stuck.
Okay, so Peter, you're healed then, so you can sing out. Okay, Brian. The angel touched the water, and you're still standing here. How come you were not grabbing the water?
I didn't hear anything.
You didn't hear it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was the water that moved without any sound. Mm. That was it.
There was no sound, and you couldn't see it. So, well, that's a pity. Okay, maybe next time better. So, pay attention, man. You have to pay attention because otherwise you never will get your healing here. Yo, why are you still here? Why didn't you go up there? Something happened with you.
I was hanged out. I was laying down, and I don't hear anything.
Okay, but if you would have seen it, you would have been running to the water.
No one else
here, so you were not able to go to the water. Yeah, okay, just like that. Okay, there's something I want to show you, that in this situation, it's always, must have been somebody like Peter, with a small disease, being the first in the water. Brian is waiting here for the water to be stirred, but he's blind, he cannot even see it. It's a hopeless situation for him. He's never going to receive healing because of the water. For Joop, it's just the same. He's lame. He's not going to be the first in the water because he cannot walk. So this is a situation where Brian and Joop, well, they have as much as chance to get healed when they lie 10 miles further. The chance for healing is just as big. They're lying there, hoping for the water to heal them, but it's a hopeless situation. It's a false hope they have. They are without a chance. You can be seated, thank you. But I need you again in a moment. So this is a place of false hope for a lot of people. How do you think the atmosphere is in this situation?
Tense.
Why is it tense?
Everybody wants to get there first. Everybody's...
So what are the best seats to be in?
Close.
Close to the water. People probably will have been fighting for the places the closest to the water. Because when you're on row 2 or 3, well, you might as well go home. No chance you will be in the water the first. So this is a very tense situation where people are fighting with each other and where most of the people in that place have a false hope. Well, I don't know how it is with you, but I don't recognize God in this situation. Because my God is not a God of false hope. He is the God of the hope. And he's not a giver of false hope. So I read the part about the angel touching the water. In my translation, that part is not in it. That's a questionable part. And it said that 300 after Christ, that's been added, that this was an angel of the Lord touching the water. From history we know that this was not a Jewish place. This was a pagan idolatry place. They worshipped a Greek pagan god named Asclepius. They worshipped Asclepius, and Asclepius was a Greek god named the Great Healer. So they were worshipping an idol here. They were putting their trust in an idol to receive their healing. This was not a Christian place. This was not an angel of the Lord touching the water. Might have been an angel, but it was not the Lord's angel. This was a place of false hope. So this was not also really about Sasha. Jesus entering in this place is about power against power. It's about light against darkness. It's about Jesus standing up against us places. It's about the great healer being confronted with the real healer. And Jesus healing this guy, Sasha, I think everybody knew Sasha in this place. Imagine 38 years being lame. Everybody knew Sasha is lying here, but it's no use. Sasha doesn't have a chance to get into the water. And he said to himself, I have nobody left. Probably, when he was lame, people brought him there and they said, well, let's make a schedule. Every day, somebody will be with you, and when the water is stirred, we will throw you in, we will help you. And maybe he has been close a few times. Just missed it. Second. But when time passes, we know how it goes. People left. People were without hope. They thought, well, it's no use anymore. We're not going to be able to help Sasha into the water the first. And he said, I don't have anybody anymore to help me into the water. Sasha was a hopeless guy. Maybe the most hopeless person is in this situation. And Jesus shows it, goes to Sasha, and another translation says, he knew about his situation. He was not randomly going in there healing somebody. He went up to Sasha, the most hopeless guy, and he healed him and took off again. The empty spot of Sasha was like a business card of the Lord Jesus, the real healer being present there. Imagine what's happening there at that moment. When Sasha is walking around and everybody is watching at each other, I didn't see the water move. There's Sasha, he's walking, he's healed. What happened? How is this possible? I think that the whole place has been stirred up and confused. What happened? So this is not about Sasha, it's about Jesus confronting Asclepius. And the strange way to heal, it's not God's way. It was a pagan, idolatry place. The second question is, why only this man? Why not stop and heal other persons also? Would you see another situation? Well, I think it has to do with culture. It says here that the healing took place on the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, you were not allowed to work. And healing somebody was considered to be working. They nearly killed Jesus because of this. healing one person was work. You should never see Jesus do mass healing on a Sabbath. When he healed people on the Sabbath, he healed only the one, and he started teaching around them. So I think healing only the one has to do with Jesus knowing about the culture he was living in. And sometimes he was counterculture, but he was very aware of the people he met and of the culture they lived in. And you can ask yourself the question, well, did it remain with only Sasha? Imagine being there, lying there, having your hope on a stable, having your hope to be healed. And then suddenly, Sasha, the most hopeless guy, is walking around. What would you do? Think about it. You're lying there, blind, paralyzed. What would you do?
Ask him what happened.
Ask him what happened. Well, there was a guy, and his name is Jesus. And he said, get up and walk. And I will be able to walk again. Now you know the answer. Then what? What do you do with that information? Try to find Jesus. Sure. I think you would be stupid not to do it. And I think it wasn't only the one that was healed by Jesus. By not only Sasha received his healing because of it. And this is interpretation from my side. So you have to weigh that for yourself. But when you look in Matthew 21 verse 14, you see Jesus teaching at a temple about 1.5 miles from Bethesda. He's teaching, and then a group of people comes to Jesus, he said. A group of lame and blind people. They come up to Jesus, and it says he healed them all. But where do you find a group of lame and blind people together? That's not very common. When I walk through Macedonia, there are not groups of blind and lame people everywhere. It was the same in that situation. The lame and the blind people were gathered at Bethesda. Well, when I would have been lying there, we just said, I would have tried to find Jesus. Well, this group of blind and blind people, I think they came from Bethesda. And Jesus was close and they went to Jesus to receive healing. Well, I want to ask my two volunteers again to come up because I have a question. So we have Brian and we have Jo. The question is this, and Jo, you are not allowed to answer because you know the answer. The question is this, how does a group of blind and blind people come to Jesus? Because Jo is not able to walk and Brian is not able to see. How does a group of lame and blind come to Jesus?
They have to have help.
They have to help
each other.
They help each other. And how did they do that?
Brian has to carry Job.
Brian has to carry Job. And Job has to tell Brian where to go.
Right.
It must have been like this. The lame were functioning as the eyes for the blind, and the blind were, yes, were pointing the way to Jesus. Very good. Thank you very much. Have a seat, please.
Yeah, you can give them a hand.
I think they helped each other like that. Isn't it amazing? A group of blind and lame come to Jesus, and Jesus healed them all. So it didn't remain only with Sasha. Healed the other ones also. At least he healed the persons coming to him. And the third question was then, stop sinning or something else, something worse will happen. Well, I already said, what can be worse than being lame for 38 years? But what was the sin this man was in? He was worshipping an idol. He was worshipping a pagan god. And what's the result when you worship an idol? In the end, the result is that you spend eternity outside of the presence of God. Well, that's worse than being lame for 38 years. Mm. Spending eternity without your Creator. And that's what Jesus said. Stop sinning. Stop worshiping Asclepios. Start following me. Because it was not only you for the physical healing for this man. Jesus came to give us eternal life. And that was more important for Sasha to hear than being healed physically. Stop sinning. Stop worshiping a pagan God. Stop worshiping things outside of God. May God, number one in your life, follow Jesus. That's why Jesus said, stop sinning. Because he knew it was important. Not only to be healed, but he also received healing in his heart. And there are two things I want to extract from this we can learn. And the first is when I look at Jesus, then I see him in his ministry, in the calling he had, working together with the Holy Spirit. In this situation, he knew about this guy. He received information about Sasha. He knew Sasha is on the Lord's agenda. Jesus only did the things he saw the Father do. He was living in relationship with his Father. And I think the Father told him to the Holy Spirit, Sasha is on the agenda today. You should meet Sasha. You should heal Sasha. And you see the gift of words of knowledge and healing cooperating together. And that's often the case in the gifts of the Spirit. Often they mingle. You see more happening together. And Jesus uses that to proclaim the kingdom of God, but also to demonstrate the kingdom of God. When you think about the ministry of Jesus, he proclaimed the kingdom of God, and he showed the kingdom of God. And he did it by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think that's a challenge for us to learn to move in that, to learn to cooperate with the Holy Spirit, learn to listen to him, learn to walk like Jesus, and do the things that the Father asks us to do. Yesterday evening we had an awesome evangelistic event, and our focus was on healing. And the Lord gave me some instructions to pray for people, and we saw a lot of people getting healed. There was a woman with stomach problems, and the Lord in advance showed me, and when I started praying for her, God healed her on the spot. And that opened the hearts of the people that were there. There were not very much, but 10 to 15 people that didn't know Christ. And 8 of them received Christ yesterday evening because their hearts were open, because they saw a demonstration of the kingdom, God touching lives of people. Then you have a different message. The message you preach is received in a different way than when you see nothing. It helps. Jesus did it. So yesterday evening we saw, there was a guy, he came in, he was crippled. He was coming in on crutches. And we prayed for him, and he was an old guy, I think he was about in his almost 80 probably. And he was waving with his crutches and running around, and he was completely healed. We have an awesome God. He's still the same. He's still performing miracles. And every miracle is a sign. And a sign points to something. Or better to say to someone, a sign points to our Creator. Who loves us, who wants to enter our lives, and wants to save us. So I think when Jesus needed that, needed those things, well, then surely we need it. The second thing is, and that gives me hope, that Jesus was not preaching to the multitudes here. There were many people. And he went in, touched one, and he left again. The result of that was that many were healed because they came to Jesus. But what Jesus actually did was touching only this man, Sasha. When I look at the Great Commission, I sometimes get a headache. Make all nations to my disciples. Well, I'm struggling to reach my neighbor. All nations, man. Where do I start? It's too immense. It's too large for me to grasp and to have faith for. All nations. But when I look at some strategies of Jesus, like this one, he only touched one life. When I look at the second time that Jesus sends of his disciples in Luke 10, you can read about that. He sends out 72. And says, you go to the villages. And he doesn't say, well, you preach to everybody and heal everybody there is. No. Search for the man of peace. They had to search for one person. Search for the man of peace. And when you found him, and it probably must have been something whose heart opened to receive what God wants to do. And when you found him, you enter his house, you eat what he gives you. Well, that can be a challenge. Wow. One time I was in Cambodia and they shoved a turtle on my plate. Well, that is a challenge. Eat what they give you. But anyhow, eat what they give you, heal the sick there are, and proclaim the kingdom of God. It makes it smaller. I cannot grab faith for reaching all the nations. But I know God can use me to touch the life of one person. I know I can grab faith, I can be focused on that. Lord, who is that person you want to bless through me this day? Open my eyes for the person of peace. Open my eyes for this one person. Imagine, if it would only be one person a day from whom the life we touch, what a blessing we can spread. Think about this, the woman at the well in John 4. Jesus is not preaching, Jesus is taking time for this woman. She's an outcast, nobody wants to have to do anything with her. And Jesus has a small conversation with her. She realizes, you're Jesus, you're the Messiah. She runs up, and a whole village comes to Christ. What did Jesus do? He touched the life of only this woman at the well. That was the key. That was the person of peace. One person. We can do that. We can touch lives of individuals. And then God can suddenly multiply the life he has touched. He can suddenly do something amazing through that person. And we might not even see it because we're gone already again. Think about Zacchaeus. There were people crowding around when Jesus entered Jericho. It was a perfect situation to stop and to preach the gospel. He didn't do that. He stopped under a tree. And he looked up. And he saw what nobody else saw. He saw Zacchaeus sitting up in a tree. This man didn't want to be seen. He was a tax collector. He worked for the enemy. And he stole from his own people. He did not want to be seen. But he wanted to see Jesus. Our heart was open for Jesus. And Jesus stops under the tree. And he says, Zacchaeus. How did you know his name? I don't know. I have to be in your house today. Well, who said Jesus to be in the house of Zacchaeus today? I think the Father in heaven did. Zacchaeus was on his agenda. But, and this one meeting with Jesus completely transformed his life. It's when he was a stealing guy, and now suddenly he's given him away. I think everybody in the region knew what happened. Everybody knew this guy. One meal with Jesus, and he was completely changed. What a testimony that must have been. I think that has given a lot of fruit. It's probably been way more effective than when Jesus would have addressed the crowd. He touched the life of one person. And I would like to pray for that. For us to have our eyes open to see that one person that God wants to bless through our lives. Shall we stand up?